Right. Well, good morning, LifePoint. Hope everyone is doing well. All of you all that are here, those of you that are online, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. I want to kick things off by asking a few questions. So how many of you, first off, have ever felt confused about the things that you've read or you've heard about in Scripture? Anybody? Yeah. Okay, cool. Cool, fair enough. How many of you have ever been frustrated or just like completely overwhelmed just trying to understand certain biblical concepts and principles? Anybody? Yeah. How about this one? How many of you have ever found yourself in disagreement with another believer about certain things, maybe secondary issues in Scripture and how they interpret Scripture or what they might believe morally? How many of you have ever been in that position? I know I have. Right. We all have been in these scenarios because the reality is our journey in faith comes with a lot of things that we have to seek out. There's a lot of things to work through and attempt to discover and understand, right? From reading God's word, studying Scripture, discussing or working through maybe systematic theology or trying to understand what's actually right and what's wrong and how much, we just want to try our best to understand like everything about God that our like human finite minds possibly can. Right? That's part of what we're supposed to do, but that can actually be very overwhelming, very exhausting, and frustrating at times. Because again, I said our finite human minds, we're not on the same level, obviously, as God. So there's going to be a lot of things that are challenging for us. And honestly, my hand would be up for every single one of those things that I asked, because it does. It can be frustrating, and it can be a struggle at times, because there's a lot of big questions. There's a lot of things that maybe may not make sense at any point in time, and there's things that we actually have to work through, but there's one inescapable truth that I have found that I go back to time and time again when I find myself kind of spiraling out of control in some of those thoughts and trying to understand exactly what the Scripture is saying, and I think we should. I think we should commit time and energy to that, but instead of spiraling out of control, I go back to this one truth. And the one truth is this, is that it's really all about Jesus. At the end of the day, this thing, our faith journey, this life is all about Jesus. Everything that God wants us and everything that God wants you to know and to do can be organized around both the work and the person of Jesus. Like it's all about Jesus. If someone asks you, well, what is Christianity about? The simple answer is, and the accurate answer, it's all about Jesus. You don't have to dig into theology. You don't have to dig into all those things. And I'm not saying those things are bad, and I think you should work through some of those things. But at the end of the day, it's all about Jesus. Therefore, me, Andy Driscoll, I am all about Jesus. Period. The end. If I'm going to err, I'm going to err on the side of, what did Jesus say? That's what I'm going to focus on. What did Jesus say? That's what we're going to go back to. Therefore, LifePoint Church is all about Jesus. Everything that we say here, everything that we do, every decision that we make is going to be all about Jesus. And the beautiful thing about that is that we could actually maybe even disagree on some secondary things, right? Like, we don't have to be in 100% alignment on every little detail. You don't have to agree with me personally on everything. But as long as we're lined in and locked in on who Jesus is, that he was the Son of God, that he died and rose again for our sins, and through him we can be saved. Like, if we can all agree on that, hey, we're good to go. We have common ground. We're in this thing together. Because it's really all about Jesus. The entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, really is all about Jesus. We see it when you look through the Old Testament, when you read the Old Testament through those lens, you see Jesus. The Old Testament is paving the way for Jesus. It's letting us know what Jesus is coming to do and what he's going to be about. And then we jump into the New Testament. We get into the Gospels. And as we start reading there, we see that in the New Testament, we actually see the life and the ministry of Jesus. And we get to see this beautiful picture of his redemptive work that he did on the cross for us. We see that clearly. And then in the rest of the New Testament, in the epistles, we see that it's the disciples that wrote this, the epistles, are explaining the significance and the meaning of what Jesus did. That is really what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. And that is such a simple and beautiful thing for us to hold on to when we get overwhelmed. It's all about Jesus. So with that being said, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be doing a study on the person and the work of Jesus and who he truly is and who he is in the life of every single believer. And what that really means for us. We're going to title this series, Jesus Is. Jesus Is. Because if it's really all about Jesus, right? If Jesus is the foundation and the cornerstone of our faith, if it's all about Jesus, then it's imperative that we know as much about Jesus as we possibly can. We have to dig in to his life and to his ministry, and we have to model our lives in our ministry after him. So we have to know these things. It's imperative that we know who he is, right? We need to know what he's done, and we need to know what he's going to do and can do and will do in each and every one of our lives if we'll trust him. It's all about Jesus. And so again, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be digging into scripture, and we're going to see that Jesus is our Savior. We're going to see that Jesus is our sanctifier. We're going to see that he is our healer. And we're going to see that Jesus is our coming king. That this is who Jesus is. And it's going to give you a very clear picture. If you're new to LifePoint or you've been checking LifePoint out, whether here in person or online, this is going to give you a very clear picture of really what we're all about and what we believe. It's going to be a very foundational message series, and it's going to be powerful, and I'm so excited about what God is going to do through this. So today we're kicking things off with what I believe to be the most important, the most foundational, and the most beautiful identifier of who Jesus is. And it's that Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our Savior. You see, within Scripture, it's made perfectly clear who Jesus is, that he is the Savior. God made it clear as day, right in the very beginning, before Jesus was even born, when he sent an angel of the Lord, God sent them to Joseph to say, hey, look, Joseph, Mary's going to be pregnant, she's going to have a baby, and you are going to name him Jesus. Then he says, why? Because he is going to save his people from their sin. God laid it out before Jesus was even born that he was going to be the Savior. And then Jesus himself, in what is one of the few public statements he made about his purpose and his mission, he said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He said that in Luke 19. And then in Mark 10, he says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus was letting the people know that he is the Savior. And then Paul even writes in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says, this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. They weren't debating theology right there. He said, no. Check this out. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. This is a trustworthy saying. You should accept this. Jesus is Savior. But honestly, this isn't, this isn't probably anything that you didn't already know, right? Like, I don't think anyone's shocked by me coming up here and saying, Jesus is Savior. Even if you have, like, the most basic understanding of Jesus and Christianity, you could be able to say, you know, yeah, I know Christians believe that Jesus is Savior, right? I think most people could get to that, but the real life-changing power comes when we actually fully embrace and understand and know this amazing and beautiful truth and know what it means for us as believers, to know what it means in our life, what this does for us. It is the true life changer for us to go simply beyond knowing that Jesus is Savior and take it to the next level of believing that he is Savior. Agreeing that he is Savior. And not just the Savior, but my Savior. Your personal Savior. That's when it goes to the next level. And that's when life change happens. You see, there are so many things that are promised to us within Scripture based on the fact that Jesus is Savior. Beautiful, amazing promises that we can hold on to when we believe. If you claim to be a believer in Jesus, right, you've confessed and believed and he is your Lord and Savior, these are true promises that you can hold on to, that you can take to the bank. And it's only because he is Savior. So I want to spend some time identifying some of these powerful promises. And today we're really going to be like, I know the tech team, when I sent like my notes, like all the slides that they're going to have up here and all the different scripture, they were probably sweating because we're going to cover a lot of things. There's a lot of topics here, but we're really going to kind of work through them at a nice pace because I want, yeah, my wife like rolled her eyes. She's like, yeah, I know how you are. There's no such thing as a nice pace with you. We're going to be here forever. No, but just, we're going to roll through this because I think these are important. And this is not an exhaustive list. We're going to cover just, honestly, just a few of them that we see in Scripture. But it's quite lengthy, but these are powerful. And I want you to embrace these things. And I think it's important for us to kind of always go back to these things for two reasons. One, because it's important for those who do not personally have a relationship with Jesus to actually hear what it means for them to have a relationship with Jesus. What it means for them and what they can have and what you can have if you're not a believer when you give your life to Jesus. When you say, you are the Savior of my life. Not just a Savior, but the Savior. And two, it's important for those who do have that personal relationship with Jesus because it's a reminder of what God has done in your life. It should lead you to worship, to celebrate, to be thankful that he has truly saved you. So again, for some, this is a recap. Some, this might be things that you've maybe never heard of or thought of, or maybe God's going to open it up to you in a brand new way. But we're going to cover some of these promises. So what is true for us as believers because Jesus is Savior? Like, what is true? Well, the first thing is that we have been forgiven. I mean, foundational. We've been forgiven, right? We've all sinned. Some people don't like the word sin. We've all screwed up. We've all made mistakes. We've all have failures. We've all done just boneheaded, dumb things, right? Every single one of us. But we've been forgiven because Jesus is Savior. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says, Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." And the beautiful thing about this is that it's not just like in that moment, like your sins right then and there. Because Jesus is Savior, because of his work on the cross, and because he rose again, it's not just our immediate sins in that moment and that you have to keep going back to God over and over again. No, it's your past sins, your present sins, and all of your future sins to come. They've been forgiven because Jesus is Savior. The second thing we see, kind of on the same lines as this, is that we're no longer guilty. We are no longer guilty. Again, as sinful people, as people that screw up, do things, we're guilty. We're guilty of breaking God's commands. I mean, straight up, we're guilty. But Romans 8, verse 1 and 2 says this: "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." Man, what a beautiful statement right there. There is no condemnation, no judgment, no guilt for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. So not only are you just forgiven, right, but the guilt is removed. You are no longer guilty of anything. And I don't know about you, but I grew up in a very, like, conservative, independent Baptist movement full of shame and blame. They were the pros at it, right? They were, like, top-tier, all-star, shame and blame people. And so I carry around a ton of guilt all the time. So I have to always go back to this truth and remember that, you know what? I've been forgiven. There's no condemnation because I am in Christ Jesus. Not because of me, but because of who Jesus is and what he did. And because the fact is, he is my Savior. Therefore, guilt is removed. We have peace with God. No longer will you ever be at odds with God when you come to know him as Savior. You have peace. True peace. See, if we are not forgiven, right, if we are sinful beings, we are at odds with God because he's perfect. But when Jesus steps in as our Savior, we have peace. Romans 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us." No matter what you've done, it doesn't matter how terrible, how bad you think it is, how shameful you might feel over it, doesn't matter. Because of what Jesus did, when you believe in him, receive him as the Savior that he is personally, you have peace with God. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Next thing is that we've been declared righteous. We've been declared righteous. Think about that. Romans chapter 4, verse 24 says, "But also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness." To whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins, and was raised to life for our justification. You see, you didn't earn it. You've been made righteous. You've been justified, made right before God, not because of you, but because of Jesus. See, he earned it on the cross. He earned it. But then he credits your account. He chooses to do that, to give you something that you didn't earn. So that when we come before God, we are viewed as righteous, at peace, because Jesus is Savior. One of my favorite truths is that we are a new creation. We're a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And I love that imagery. I love that picture of a new creation. Everything that once was, maybe your old self before Jesus, right? Maybe it wasn't the greatest. It's gone, right? Your sins, gone. Your screw-ups, the things that you've done, the guilt and shame you carried, it's gone. The mistakes that have haunted you over the years, once you come to know Jesus, they're gone. Those things that may have been done to you against your will, things that were hurtful, devastating, you are a new creation. made whole again. Old things have passed away. All things are new. And again, it's because Jesus is Savior. One that we like to talk about in church a lot is that we have eternal life, right? Like, bonus round, right? We have eternal life. You know, John 3:16, you probably all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Therefore, death has lost its sting, right? Death has lost its victory. There's no fear in death because we have eternal life because Jesus is Savior. And not only do we have eternal life, but we have eternal life with God, right? It just sweetens the deal. It's a beautiful thing. We have the Holy Spirit. And I know we talk about that a lot, or you hear that if you've been in church a lot, that the Holy Spirit lives in you, the Holy Spirit lives in you, but I want you to think about that fresh and new today. Romans chapter 8, verse 10 and 11 says, "And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God." See, there's that justification again. You've been made right with God. "The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you." Man, that is such an amazing promise. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, right? The Spirit, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, lives in you. If you are a Christ follower, right? You've confessed and believed, and you have that personal relationship with Jesus, the Spirit of God lives within you. And therefore, we should have, like, all the confidence in the world. There shouldn't be anything that we should be afraid of. We should be able to move forward with boldness on mission because we know we don't go alone. And we don't go in just our own power and abilities, but we go in the power and the abilities of the Holy Spirit, right? The Spirit of God living in and through us. And that's only because Jesus is Savior. It's one of the promises, it's one of the truths that we can cling to. And finally, we have God's infinite love. God's infinite love. Again, another passage of scripture that I go back to over and over and over again because it gives me such confidence in knowing that God's got me, that he's not going to go away, and there's nothing that I could ever do to push him away from me. Check it out. Romans, again, chapter 8, verse 38 and 39 says, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither your fears for today or worries for tomorrow." No, we all got those right now. Fears for today, worries for tomorrow. "Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed," check this out, "in Christ Jesus our Lord." Once you come into that personal relationship with Jesus, again, because he is Savior, there's nothing that can separate you from God's love. Now, at times we might feel separated from God's love, but that's an us thing, not a God thing. I've been in that place so many times, right, where I feel like I've screwed up or I've not connected with God like I should and I've not prayed in a while and I just feel so distant from God and I feel like I can't even go to him because of that. But the reality in those situations is that's just the enemy keeping us from just saying, "Hey, Jesus." Because as soon as you go to him, he's right there. He's waiting for you. He's longing for you to connect with him because he loves you. When Jesus is your Savior, you are his children. And there's nothing that you could do, ever do, to separate God's love from you. You're not that powerful. You're not that good. Or should I say, you're not that bad. And I don't care what it is, because God loves you, and nothing will separate you. And all this is true only because, again, it's all about Jesus. And because of the fact that Jesus is our Savior. And these are only, again, just a few of the promises, just a few of the things that are true for us as believers, as Christ followers. And if you have a personal relationship with Jesus, these promises are 100% true for you. No matter what you feel, no matter what you might think in the moment, those are true for you. And if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, if you've heard of him as Savior, but you don't actually know him as your Savior, these are the promises that could be true for you. This is how you could live your life in the power of the Spirit of God. Forgiven, free, guiltless. With love, constant love surrounding you. It's such a beautiful, it's a beautiful way to live. Again, you know, growing up, I was just hammered over the head with shame, blame, and fear. You know, say this prayer so that you don't go to burn in hell, right? We've all seen those preachers, you know, people on the side of the road, you know, turn or burn, you know, holding the signs or whatever it is. And, you know, I just really struggle with that. I'm just being honest with you guys. I struggle with that because the reality that while that might be true, that when, as John 3:16 says, that, you know, all perish, that you would perish without God, but with God you have eternal, everlasting life. But the reality is that's not the reason we go to God. That's not the reason he sent his son Jesus. It was so that we could be made right with him and that we could be in an actual relationship with him. And that changes our quality of life. It gives us purpose. It gives us reason. It gives us mission. It gives us hope. It gives us peace. It gives us power. It gives us everything that we need to be successful on mission here on earth. And like I said, bonus round, eternity. That's what we long for, is to be connected to Jesus. Because it's all about Jesus. And Jesus is our Savior. But on that note, I also want to share with you a few final truths as it relates, again, to Jesus as Savior. We've talked about the importance of what Jesus has promised us, right, as his Savior. Like, what is true for us. But I also want to talk just briefly about the kind of Savior that Jesus is. The kind of Savior. And when we look into Scripture, we see two very clear and distinctive truths concerning the kind of Savior that Jesus is. The first thing that we see is that Jesus is a universal Savior. He is a universal Savior. Again, let's read John 3:16 for the third time. It's all good. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Whoever. And then in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to who? To everyone who believes." And I say this all the time, when the Bible says everyone, when God says everyone, he really means everyone. He's a universal Savior. He's not just a Savior for Americans. He's not just a Savior for people that look like you. He's not just the Savior for people that talk like you. He's not just the Savior for people that think like you, believe it or not. He's not just the Savior for the people that agree with you morally and your moral stances and beliefs. He's not just the Savior for the people that agree with you politically. I said it. He's not just the Savior for the physically or mentally well. He's not just the Savior for people that are wealthy. Jesus is a universal Savior. He's a Savior for everyone. That person that you struggle with being repulsed by, and don't act like you don't have biases, because we all do, something we have to work through, whether you know it or not. But that person that you make a snap judgment on, that you maybe struggle to love, Jesus died for them. Jesus could be their Savior. And we are called to take that message to the world, to everyone. Not just the people you're comfortable with. Everyone. I pray that God sends us everyone. I pray that people come in here and are a little uncomfortable because of who God sends us, because we need to get uncomfortable. Because there's a lost and dying world out there that needs to know that Jesus died for them, and that Jesus loves them, and that Jesus is their Savior. That's who he is. He's a universal Savior. And finally, Jesus is the exclusive Savior. He's the exclusive Savior. And here in 2020, this is probably a piece that could lead to some conflict, some frustration. Some people might feel certain type of way about me saying that, but truth is truth. And we see it clearly in Scripture, that Jesus is the exclusive Savior. You see, it's Jesus and nothing else. It's Jesus and nobody else. And trust me, these aren't Andy's words. These are the words of Jesus. Check it out. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus says this. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Honestly, this is a tough truth. It's a tough truth, but it's truth nonetheless. There are no multiple paths to God. There's one path. There's not multiple avenues to salvation. There's one. There's not all these different kinds of ways that you can be made right with God. There's one. And it's Jesus. It's in Jesus and Jesus alone, period, the end. Now, there are many different ways and methods that people can come to know Jesus. But Jesus is the gatekeeper. It has to filter through him. And I'm sorry, and I say this with all love, like for real, with all love. But if you're trusting anything other than Jesus for your salvation, sorry, you've missed the mark. And there's no shame in that. There's no blame. I love you. Love to have a conversation with you. But the reality is, it's all about Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. He's the only way to salvation. Acts 4, verse 12, Luke writes this: "There is salvation in no one else." It's pretty clear, right? "There's salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." He's a universal Savior. He's a Savior for everyone. Equal opportunity. But he's also the exclusive Savior. It's the only way. So my ultimate question for you today is this: is Jesus your Savior? Is he your Savior? Do you simply know about Jesus as a Savior? Or do you personally know Jesus as your Savior? It's a big difference. There's a big difference. And this is a question that's of the utmost importance because Jesus, again, is Savior, and he's the only way to be made right with God. And if your answer yes to this, man, I'm stoked for you. I'm happy. I'm stoked that you have made that decision to follow Jesus, to have him be the Lord of your life, the Savior of your life, that he is your Savior. And if that's you, I want to encourage you today, I don't even want to say sometime this week, today, spend time thanking him. Worship him however he leads you to worship. Worship doesn't just mean singing. Worship him in any way that he puts on your heart and thank him for the fact that he is your Savior. That all those promises and those truths that I ran through and all those truths that we read in Scripture, man, thank him for that. We don't do enough of that. We do a lot of asking God for things, but we don't do enough God, thank you. Jesus, thank you for being my Savior. Spend time in prayer just talking to him, thanking him. But if your answer is no to that question, understand that God loves you. That's what I want you to take away from today, that he loves you and that Jesus wants nothing more than to be in relationship with you. God loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross in your place, right? So that you could be forgiven, so that you could be guiltless and be at peace and have the Spirit of God living in you. And all those beautiful things we talked about, those are available to you. But Jesus is the only avenue to get to that. We are only justified by faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. We're made right by Jesus. That's it. And again, if that's you, you are in a great place. Come talk to me after the service. If you're watching online, hit us up with a comment or a direct message. Someone will get in touch with you. It's really not that complicated. And it's not that complicated because it's simply all about Jesus. And Jesus is the Savior. And through him, you can be made right with God. It's really all about Jesus. I could just sit up here and say that all day long because it's just amazing. It feels good. I don't think y'all want me to do that, though. Everybody's like, no, we're done. Tap out. But seriously, understand that. Embrace that truth that it's all about him and worship and celebrate him today for being your Savior, for being the Savior. Let's pray. Jesus, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being the Savior, being our Savior, for being my Savior. God, not a single one of us deserve it. Not a one of us could ever earn it or do anything to be made right before the Father. But Jesus, you stepped into place. You bridged the gap for us. You took on our guilt, our shame, our sin, our screw-ups, our failures, our stupidity. You took it all upon you. And then you made us right before God. You credited our account when we didn't earn any of it. Jesus, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that you are a Savior for everyone. And that we can learn from you how to love everyone. Help us to love those people that maybe we struggle to love. Or maybe the ones that we don't want to love. Be honest. Jesus, help us to love those people. Maybe you're here as we continue in prayer. Maybe you're here this morning or whenever you're watching and you have heard of Jesus as Savior, but he's not your Savior. You've never stepped over that line of faith. I just want to encourage you. If you're ready for that, push aside whatever it is that's hindering you and step out on faith. Trust Jesus. Trust him. Take the leap. It'll be the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. Scripture says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved. He is the Savior. He died and rose again for you. And all you have to do is confess and believe. There's no like magic prayer. There's no, you don't have to come forward. If you want to, that's cool. You're free to do whatever. But the reality of the situation is that it's between you and God. It's your heart and his. And you just confess that you have flaws, that you're not perfect, and then you believe that he is the Savior, the one and only Savior. You receive that gift of salvation that he freely gives you. And if you're ready to do that, again, you can do that from your seat, from whatever you're watching online, or you can talk to me afterwards or hit us a direct message, comment. Love to talk with you. But don't push, keep pushing God away. He loves you. Despite what anyone has said to you before, no matter how ugly Christians may have been to you, if they were, I'm so sorry, but that's not Jesus. He loves you. Or maybe you are a Christ follower, and you're connected to him, and you know him as your personal Savior. And worship him today. Worship him in this moment like you've not worshiped in a long time. Well, think about anyone around you or wherever you're at watching. If you're not here, just worship him. That could be singing, that could be praying, that could just be closing your eyes, that could just be sitting outside. It could be whatever. It could be drawing. It could just, however you're led to worship, just worship him and thank him for being your Savior and for giving you all of those beautiful promises that we don't deserve, but we receive because of him. Jesus, again, thank you for loving us. Lord, I pray in this moment that you would bless each and every person that's here, that's online. You would bless them, that they would feel your presence, they would feel your peace, they would feel your unending, infinite love. God, may we worship you for being our Savior, for being our Lord, for giving us what we don't deserve, and not giving us what we do. Speak to the hearts of those, Lord, that don't know you. May they come to know you, and may we as a church family surround them with love, even if they continue to just keep searching. Jesus, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for being our Savior. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you all so much for being here with us for LifePoint Online. If this is your first time here with us, man, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us today. If you'd like more information about LifePoint Church, you can go ahead and drop a comment below, or you can send us a direct message on any of our social media platforms, or head over to our website. But someone from our team will get back with you as soon as possible and answer whatever question that you may have. Also, if you want to continue to worship with your tithes and your offerings, or if you just want to give to LifePoint Church, again, you can go over to our website. It's lpc502.com. In the top right-hand corner is an online giving button. If you click it, it takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. Also, you can go begin to text to give by texting 84321. Text the amount that you want to give. If it's the first time, there'll be a small setup that you'll have to go through, but after that, you'll just be able to text the amount and you'll be good to go. But however you choose to give, man, we are so thankful that you're on mission and that you're giving back just a portion of what God has blessed you with. Again, thank you all so much for being with us today. We love you. We hope to see you throughout the week online, and we will definitely see you next Sunday. Love you guys. Have a great week.